Our next case this morning is Muhammad against Gonzalez.
Mohideen, I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, Mohideen against Gonzalez.
I didn't know you were the first name, please.
Ms. Bassi. You can, if you want, throw the little switch in the right and lower the podium. No, do not move the microphone. There is a switch on the podium. Do not move the microphone.
It's right there. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
I was actually suggesting moving it down.
No, I'll stop. Push again.
There's an up and a down.
Okay, if you push it, it goes up. Thank you. Okay. Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Carrie Bassi and I represent the petitioners today. Your Honors, there is only one discrete legal issue before you today, and that is whether the persecution suffered by my client, Mr. Mohideen, was due in part to his Muslim religion. It is undisputed that Mr. Mohideen is a credible witness and that the facts established below are true. It is undisputed that Mr. Mohideen is Muslim and that Muslims are a minority group in Sri Lanka. It is undisputed that the Tamil Tigers, a known terrorist organization, have targeted Muslims for persecution. And it is undisputed that Mr. Mohideen suffered past persecution at the hands of the Tamil Tigers and has a well-founded fear of future persecution. The only dispute, therefore, is whether the facts in the record compel the conclusion that no reasonable fact finder could have failed to find that Mr. Mohideen's Muslim religion factored into the Tamil Tigers' decision to persecute him. It is our position that the facts establish this motivation and that the IJ and subsequently the BIA ignored certain facts and improperly applied the mixed motive standard in reaching their decisions. Under the mixed motive standard, an asylum applicant is not required to show that his persecution was based solely on account of one of the five protected factors. This doctrine recognizes that persecutory conduct may have more than one motive, and so long as one of those motives is one of the statutorily enumerated grounds, the requirement has been satisfied. Other courts have already adopted this standard, namely the Second, Eighth, and Ninth Circuits, and they've all applied the standard in cases like this, and have found that where the applicant was persecuted in part on any one of the five factors, a grant of asylum is appropriate. Here, in ignoring certain facts, the IJ and BIA improperly held that because there was evidence that the Tamil Tigers persecuted Mr. Mohideen due to his wealth, he therefore did not establish facts deserving of asylum. The BIA essentially found the standard to be mutually exclusive. That is, because he was persecuted for economic motives, he could not have been persecuted in any way on account of religious motives. However, it is this finding that the mixed motive standard is expressly designed to preclude. It is precisely this leap from the characterization of the persecution as economic to the conclusion that Mr. Mohideen is not entitled to asylum that the Second Circuit itself has described as illogical. It is because of this illogical leap made by the BIA in this case that we ask you to overturn its decision today. To be clear, we do not dispute that the Tamil Tigers extorted Mr. Mohideen because he had money. Indeed, there would be no point in extorting someone who had no money. When talking about extortion, there's always going to be an economic component. However, as courts have already found in applying the mixed motives doctrine, that persecution can and does occur on the basis of wealth and another separate protected ground, and that in such situations, these mixed motives allow for a finding of asylum eligibility. In this case, there are several facts in particular that the IJ and BIA ignored, showing that the Tamil Tigers persecuted Mr. Mohideen not just on the basis of his wealth, but also due to the separate protected ground of his Muslim religion. In order to have properly considered the mixed motives doctrine, they would have had to have considered the following facts. First, while extorting Mr. Mohideen, the Tamil Tigers expressly called him a rich Muslim. Normally, persecutors don't articulate the reason for their persecution, but in this case, they actually did call him a rich Muslim. Mr. Mogadeen lived in Welawata for over 20 years amidst a constant undercurrent of anti-Muslim sentiment. He and his family were frequently harassed on account of their Muslim religion. Indeed, when they were attempting to practice their Muslim religion, on their way to the mosque, they would sling mud at them, they would steal their prayer caps, they would break coconuts in front of them and force them to walk barefoot on these coconuts as a sign of respect to the Tamil temple. And they tried to interfere with the Muslim call to prayer by drowning it out with their own temple bells. The 2000 State Department report in the record documents that Tamil Tigers have discriminated against Muslims by expropriating their homes, their lands, their businesses, and threatening them with death if they attempted to return. UNHCR reports have documented the bombing of Muslim mosques by the Tamil Tigers, the massacre of 123 Muslims at prayer, and other indiscriminate killings of Muslims. And finally is the fact that the Tamil Tigers purposefully seek out the weaker, unprotected Muslims for such persecution, and they do not target the Sinhalese, who are the majority in Sri Lanka. In this case, this is clearly evidenced by Mr. Mohideen's deliberate choice of a Sinhalese buyer when he was forced to sell his unfinished property due to the persecution he suffered. He purposely picked a Sinhalese buyer because he knew...
What do you have to say about the State Department country report, which says, it appears that the attacks by the LTTE against Muslims were not religiously motivated, but were instead part of an overall strategy to clear the north and east of persons not sympathetic to the cause of an independent Tamil state.
But they chose these Muslims because they were a minority, they were unprotected, and they knew that they could get away with it, whereas they couldn't take such actions against the majority Sinhalese.
The State Department doesn't agree with that. The State Department says they're trying to clear all non-Tamil supporters out of those areas.
But the State Department does document the persecution of the Muslims, the bombing of their mosques, and that the persecution doesn't have to be because they disagree with the Muslim religion, but because they were Muslim. It's on account of the fact that they were Muslim that they went after these people, that they were an unprotected minority in this case. In face of the undisputed facts that I just listed for you, the BIA could not have reasonably found that Mr. Mohideen was not persecuted, at least in part, which is all that is required, on account of his Muslim religion. We submit that these facts are enough to demonstrate the reasonableness of a motivation related to religion. And that is all that is required under the mixed motive standards to establish asylum eligibility. The Tamil Tigers targeted Mr. Mohideen because, as they themselves stated, he was a rich Muslim. This is direct evidence of a dual motive to satisfy the mixed motive standard. I see I'm into my rebuttal times.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Bossi. Mr. Larson.
The trap door's where?
Reach down and find out. Glad you didn't hit it.
How about that? Good morning. My name is Kurt Larson. I represent the Attorney General in this case. Petitioner was a victim of criminal extortion rather than persecution on account of protected ground. An asylum officer, an immigration judge, and the Board of Immigration Appeals all found that this individual failed to establish asylum based upon a protected ground. Why did they do this? Because there's substantial evidence in the record that shows the sole reason for the threats were based upon this individual's wealth. Let's look at the substantial.
Sole reason?
They stated the sole reasons for this were his wealth. That's correct.
And what do you say about the State Department country report, which says that the LTTE differentially targets Muslims? The State Department report seems to me excruciatingly clear that Muslims are used as targets of extortion by the Tigers and at lower wealth levels than Sinhalese. I mean, normally the agency comes to us and says, we have the support of the State Department country report, and that's substantial evidence. In this case, it seems, the agency the Department of Justice wants us to ignore the State Department's views because the findings in the record in this case appear to be in the teeth of the country report, which neither the immigration judge nor the board bothered to discuss.
I believe that the immigration judge and the board stated on page 4, the LTT targets all types of nationalities, religions, and persons. That's on page 4, so that should be the board's.
The State Department's view is otherwise. Now,
well,
where is the discussion by the board or the immigration judge about why they are disagreeing with the State Department?
Because they're basing the State Department's background notes are just that. They're general in nature.
Where is the discussion?
There is none, Your Honor.
There is none. It's not mentioned. Does that strike you as responsible just to ignore the views of the State Department when they conflict with the views of an immigration judge?
When it's this clear, when we're based upon the facts of this case, and the facts of this case are so clear that the motivation behind the threats are due to his wealth, then I think that is such what are the points they're trying to make here? I've got direct evidence, direct testimony from the petitioner in this case, found on page 122, 132, and 133. They say, why are you being targeted? He said, because of his wealth. That's why he's being targeted for these threats. He states that himself. Moreover,
I must say, this suggests you don't understand the concept of differential extortion. Right. The State Department country report suggests that Muslims are targeted for extortion at lower wealth levels. They may not target destitute Muslims, but if you have any given wealth level, a Muslim is more likely to be extorted than a Sinhalese. Now, that's what the State Department says. It's perfectly consistent with the proposition that Mohideen would not have been extorted had he been destitute. It's also perfectly consistent with the proposition that his religion was used as the basis of adverse action. You notice there's no discussion in the immigration judge's opinion about differential wealth level, the differential wealth level possibility. Although it's mentioned in the State Department country report.
What is stated in the general sense is the fact that regardless of religion, extortion is throughout the country, and it's pervasive throughout the country. The differentiation between the amount of money one person has versus the other was not mentioned, Your Honor. But again, in this case, let's look at the facts. Look at the testimony of this individual and look at the facts. So I've already pointed out the testimony of the individual. Now let's look at the facts. If you turn to page 221 to 223 of this case, of the administrative record, we've got a verbatim transcript of these individuals saying, we're after you for the money. We're coming after you for this money. He's being targeted because he's wealthy. What else do we have? When he moves away from his area, the area that he's lived for 30 years, and moves to another area where it's not known that he's wealthy, he is completely left alone. He specifically states, I have no problems whatsoever. I'm having no problems whatsoever. The reason he had to return, the reason he returned to the place itself, was because he stated that his business was failing. So there's evidence in the record specifically from the testimony, from the background notes, and from the transcripts of the tape recording, this individual is being targeted solely because he's wealthy. That's why he's being targeted. The respondent also admitted that Tamils are also targeted for their wealth.
What if you were to point to the record or the finding, the record support or the finding for the proposition that a Sinhalese or Tamil of equal wealth would have had the same thing happen to him, what would be the support for that finding?
One is his testimony saying that Tamils are also targeted for that. That's number one. Your Honor, I don't have an answer for that, obviously. Subject to your questions, that concludes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
But by the way, I noticed that you did not rely on Cardoza Fonseca. Is there any reason for that choice?
Your Honor, I didn't write this brief. I would also put in the Cuvez case.
By you, I mean the Department of Justice. Is there any reason why the Department of Justice did not rely on Cardoza Fonseca, which would seem to me to be pertinent here?
I do not know, Your Honor. I didn't write the brief. And again, I would state that if had I written it, I also put in the case Cuvez, C-U-E.
This brief is not filed on behalf of people. It's filed on behalf of the Department of Justice.
Yes, Your Honor. So
your answer is no. No.
It does not
seem to reflect any policy choice by the agency.
Your Honor, I stand here and represent the Attorney General. Okay. Everything that's in there or fails to be in there is my fault, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Larson. Anything further, Ms. Bossi? You now know where the switch is.
Yeah, it's fine. Your Honors, the record shows that the Muslims were not the only were the only ones targeted. That the Tamil Tigers did not indiscriminately persecute anyone. The government mentioned that Tamils may have been persecuted, but Tamils themselves are another minority. The fact remains that they did not target the Sinhalese, who are in the majority, and they targeted the Muslims.
But the State Department disagrees with that. The State Department says they're trying to remove all the Sinhalese from their areas and all the Muslims. Now, maybe they think the Muslims are easier targets, but that's different from saying that the Sinhalese are just ignored. Because I don't think the record supports that, and the State Department country report contradicts it.
What happened was the Sinhalese are the ones that removed the Tamils from the area back in the 80s. And that now the Tamils...
What, by the way, do you have to say about Cardoza Fonseca?
Your Honor, I can't speak to that right here, but I think what's important is that the 2nd, 8th, and 9th circuits have spoken to cases like this and have... issued and have
as,
applied.
As between the Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit, guess which one we're going to follow. Now, Cardoza Fonseca says that being caught on the wrong side of a civil war is not persecution. That looks like the best understanding of what's going on here. There's a civil war going on in Sri Lanka, and your client is on the wrong side of it. But, of course, given Shineri and the fact that the agency has not relied on Cardoza Fonseca, I guess it won't count against you.
But they're not on the wrong side of the war. The war is between the Tamils and the Sinhalese. They're basically caught in the middle, and it's because they are unprotected that the Tamil Tigers are going after them in order to fight their war against the Sinhalese government. Your Honor, all that is necessary to be established in this case is that the motivation was at least in part on account of his Muslim religion. And the facts show that at least in part the motivation was his Muslim religion. It's not an insurmountable burden. It's a humanitarian standard, and there needs to just be some evidence from which it is reasonable to believe that he was persecuted because he was Muslim. That exists in the record, and for that reason we ask you today to overturn the decision of the BIA and to grant asylum to Mr. Mohideen and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bossi. The case is taken under advisement.